Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will examine an old English folk song that has been around since 1650. 316 years later, two Americans and their new version of the song propelled two different albums containing that song into the upper regions of the charts, with one of those albums hitting number one. For our little slice of heaven at number seven, we will hear from a Mississippi-born blues man that actually participated in the horrific Allied invasion of Guam during World War II. 2 decades later, he was a major influence on some guitarists that participated in a much more pleasant invasion, the British invasion. Then, we will listen to a classic rock track by an act that seemed to change lead vocalists every time they recorded a new song. Yet, their sound, even with different singers, seemed to remain identifiable. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will hear what amounts to a man confessing to an affair in a song that was written while the writer was on vacation at a ski resort with his wife. But first, just like we do every week, we start with a song that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then floundered. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a former member of the Kingston Trio with a number one song under his belt as a songwriter. Then we add in a couple of members of Fleetwood Mac to help him with production and backing vocals. As for the song itself, it examines that mysterious gap between music for passion and music for money.
When the lights go down in the California town, people are in for the evening. I jump into my car and I throw in my guitar. My heart beating time with the breathing. Driving over Canaan, singing to my soul. There's people out there turning music into gold. A working pump of gas, and he makes $2.50 for an hour. He's got rhythm in his hands as he's tapping on the cans, sings rock and roll in the shower. Driving over Canaan, singing to his soul. There's people out there turning music into gold.
with a song that peaked at number 6 on the Cashbox Singles chart and spent one short week at number 40 on its way up that chart. That was singer-songwriter John Stewart, with a little help from Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, and his RSO single from 1979, Gold.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
Now at number 20, we have a British band that began its existence in 1985 as the Sherbet Monsters. After a number of lineup changes, they settled on calling themselves the Mighty Lemon Drops. While they never had any true success in the United States, the group had 3 chart albums in England and hit number 34 in 1988 with the album that contained this song, Inside Out. And this record sounds like the kind of thing that would have typically hovered about halfway up the top 40. So, now at number 20, here are the Mighty Lemon Drops with their 1988 single, Inside Out. The song that, at the very least, should have made it up to number 20. Those were the Mighty Lemon Drops with Inside Out.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Here is an old English folk song that really did peak at number 11. And even though its earliest versions date all the way back to 1650, this song helped drive 2 albums into the top 4 of the Billboard album charts. First, it was featured as the lead-off track to an album named after a portion of its traditional lyric, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme. That album was, of course, by Simon and Garfunkel, and it reached number 4 and sold over 3 million copies. This song was also included on the soundtrack album to The Graduate, and that album reached number 1. With Paul Simon on guitar and vocals, Art Garfunkel on lead vocal, John Mexer on harpsichord, and Carol Kay on bass, this is Simon and Garfunkel's version of Scarborough Fair.
Are you going
Scarborough Fair. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cambric shirt, a deep forest green. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Sleeps on the wind of a cloudy and calm. Tell her to find me an acre of land, a sprinkling of leaves. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Strands and polishes of gun. She'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle-bill of blazing in scarlet battalion. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
With a song that peaked at number 11 on the Billboard Singles Chart, that was Simon & Garfunkel and Scarborough Fair.
Number 10.
The Plimsolls' debut album received critical praise upon its 1981 release, and it contains several songs that were airplay regulars on the legendary KROQ, K-Rock, in Los Angeles. While the album only reached number 153 on the Billboard album chart, time has increased the appreciation for that LP, and especially for the tracks Zero Hour, In This Town, and this song, Now. Featuring the songwriting and vocals of Peter Case, here are the Plimsolls.
Girl, I need your love tonight. I can't wait, I must know what's on your mind. Same things on mine. I can't wait any longer. Keep up the pace. When the things you want, well, it just out of reach. Till the time.
time is right. It's got to be tonight. Why wait any longer?
With a great beat, a great riff, and great harmony, those were the Plimsolls with Now.
Number 9.
Here is a song that really did peak at number 9. It was included on the 4th album by the Berkeley, California New Wave act, The Motels. And, even being classified as New Wave, this single hit number 1 on the Billboard album Rock Tracks chart. Produced by Val Gary, here are The Motels featuring lead singer Martha Davis with a song she co-wrote with Ronald Schizowski, Suddenly Last Summer. Song that peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Singles chart, those were The Motels with Suddenly Last Summer.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Auden and Grace.
reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is both modern and great, and indeed should have reached number 8. It is by the band based in Victoria, British Columbia, Jets Overhead. This track was included on the group's debut album, Bridges, which was released on the Microgroove label after their initial release, a self-titled EP, started getting attention. While there were no charting singles from the album, this song definitely should have taken off and climbed to number 8 in Canada, the US, and all around the world. With the first of at least 3 songs we will ultimately play by this act, here are Jets Overhead with Killing Time. Song that is modern and great and should have reached number 8, those were Jets Overhead with Killing Time.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is a classic blues track by a Mississippi-born blues man that actually participated in the Allied invasion of Guam in World War II. Later, he was a major influence on several guitarists that spearheaded a much more pleasant invasion, the British invasion over the entire music industry during the 60s. Elmore James was born as Elmore Brooks on January 27, 1918, in Holmes County, Mississippi, to Leola Brooks. When Joe Willie James, the individual believed to be his father, later moved in with his mother, little Elmore started going by Elmore James. His music career began when he was 12. Soon he was performing using the stage names Cleanhead and Joe Willie James. During the 30s, he performed blues numbers similar to those by Tampa Red and Robert Johnson, with whom a dispute continues over the songwriting credit to Dust My Broom. Then World War II broke out, and Elmore James left the music business to join the Navy. While part of the Navy, Elmore James participated in the invasion of Guam. This horrific Second Battle of Guam resulted in 3,000 American servicemen killed and over 7,000 wounded. Japanese losses were far worse, with over 18,000 soldiers killed over a three-week period during the summer of 1944. Somehow, Elmore James survived and returned home to play the blues. From his releases on the Trumpet, Fire, and Modern labels, Elmore's influence grew. Unfortunately, just as he was to begin a European tour, he died of a heart attack. But a few young British guitarists had already absorbed Elmore James' use of the slide with the electric guitar. The founder of the Rolling Stones, Brian Jones, began his music career by imitating Elmore James and calling himself Elmo Lewis. Jeremy Spencer, part of the early version of Fleetwood Mac, acknowledged being influenced by Elmore James. And in the Beatles song, For You Blue, John Lennon plays a slide solo that is obviously inspired by Elmore James. To drive the point home, George Harrison remarks during the record, Elmore James got nothing on this baby. While he never lived to see the British invasion bands remind the public about his music, his place in music history is certainly secure. Here with our little slice of heaven at number 7 is the legendary Elmore James with Fine Little Mama. Slice of Heaven at number 7, that was Elmore James with Fine Little Mama. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Tim from England heard us on 6070 on the web SDR based in the Netherlands. It was his first time to catch the show, and he says, great music, keep it up. Well, thank you, Tim. Donnie from the Republic of Togo writes in just to say hello, and he tells us he likes what he has heard from us so far. Thanks, Donnie. Rayachi, a college student, tells us in her email that she enjoys the brief stories about the songs. She also says that she really likes the song that is always played during the introduction of our little slice of heaven at number 7. She wants to know the title and artist so she can track down the whole song and buy it. Well, first, Rayachi, thank you for listening and for your kind words about the show. The song that you are asking about is called Slow Blues by former Rolling Stone Mick Taylor. It was one of several instrumentals on his 1979 self-titled solo album on Columbia Records. Thanks for the question, Rayachi. Can you hear us? If you can, please let us know. Send us your reception reports, questions, or comments in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act with at least 6 Top 40 albums. And today's recording act certainly fits that description, but with an interesting catch. The leader of this loosely assembled group is not its lead singer. In fact, while the instrumentalists are generally the same from album to album and song to song, an ever-changing lineup of lead singers has been employed based on the needs of each recording. Confusing? Yes, but amazingly, this act maintains a recognizable sound even though its lead singers have included Colin Blunstone, formerly of the Zombies, Alan Clark of the Hollies, or core member of the group itself, Eric Wolfson. On this particular song, the lead vocalist was Dean Ford, whose real name was Thomas McAleese, and who co-wrote and sang lead on the number one song, Reflections of My Life, by his old band, Marmalade. With our bonus hit at number 6, here is Dean Ford singing lead for The Alan Parsons Project and their album track, Can't Take It With You.
Boatman won't be waiting, and he's leaving here with you.
With our bonus hit at number 6, that was the Alan Parsons Project, featuring on this song the lead vocals of Dean Ford and Can't Take It With You.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen, and you're listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Long before the grungy 90s band from Tallahassee, Florida called Creed hit the charts and sold millions of units, there was a band called Creed from Memphis that was signed to Asylum Records and released a self-titled album in the late 70s. That first Creed played basic rock music, but was one of the first Southern bands to incorporate a synthesizer as a lead instrument. The band's most famous album track, Firecracker, received airplay on the kind of FM rock stations that sometimes had the tendency to play lots of songs in a row without any interruption, which also meant that the listener was often left to figure out just exactly who he or she was hearing on the radio at any given moment. This was, of course, back in the days before digital displays or phone apps that visually identified song title and artist at will. Well, the song Firecracker by Creed was a song that, for at least 6 months, I thought was by Peter Frampton. This assumption was simply based upon the sound of the vocal over the radio that, to be fair, did include its fair share of static. I only discovered that I was mistaken when I actually sang a portion of the song to a record store clerk after not finding it on any Peter Frampton album anywhere. I was corrected and will forever remember the kind individual at Poplar Tunes who knew the song well and who thought my mistake was funny. As she pointed out to me, this is Creed, not Peter Frampton, with the song that should have reached number 5, Firecracker.
You
was Creed and not Peter Frampton with a song that should have reached number 5, Firecracker.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to a song that certainly made the final 4 in England. In fact, it hit number 1 in England and also in Ireland and Greece. It hit number 3 in Italy, number 4 in Sweden, number 5 in Switzerland, number 6 in Canada and France. But in the United States, where the charts can be fractured, this single had trouble deciding its genre. It reached number 16 on the mainstream rock chart, number 12 on the alternative chart, number 24 on the adult contemporary chart, and number 29 on the radio chart. Because it never found a genre to dominate, it only reached number 32 on the Hot 100. Well, the British got it right when they bought and requested this record enough to send it to number 1. It should have, at the very least, reached number 4 in the United States. Here is Tasman Archer and her brilliant debut single, Sleeping Satellite.
I blame you for the moonlit sky and the dream that died with the eagle's flight. I blame you.
With a song that at the very least should have reached number 4 in the United States, that was Tasman Archer and Sleeping Satellite.
Number three.
Now we are up to our three from way downtown. In this case, we're talking about downtown Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and its one-time darlings of college FM radio, Let's Active. Let's Active was a project that consisted of top-rate record producer Mitch Easter on guitar, his girlfriend at the time Faye Hunter on bass, and Sarah Romweber on drums. They took their name from a t-shirt that accidentally put that nonsense phrase together. Signed to IRS Records, they released an EP that got a little attention in 1983 and then put out an album called Cypress the following year. That album featured a song called Blue Line, which was released as a single but did not chart. It most certainly should have made it up to number three. Mitch Easter on guitar, the late Faye Hunter on bass and vocals, and on drums, the late Sarah Romweber, who unfortunately passed away last week. Together, they were known as Let's Active, and they put out Blue Line. It's our three from way downtown.
All Universe Top 40.
Number two.
Now we are up to our number two, which means we think that it should have hit number one. And it is a song from a number one album by an artist with a number of trips to the top. And this time, we think that trip should have been taken by Jet. Paul McCartney has discussed the origin of his composition, Jet, on several different occasions, and it appears that the song's title was originally inspired by two different animals. First, a Labrador puppy that he and Linda named Jet. In addition, the McCartneys also apparently owned a pony named Jet. The other lyrics of the song sound perfect with the motion of the melody, but basically make no sense. McCartney once mentioned that the tone of one of the drafts of the lyrics in some small way recounted his feelings upon meeting Linda's father for the first time, but that certainly is not obvious. And then there was the use of the word suffragette. Had McCartney recently heard the David Bowie song that we just played a few weeks ago, Suffragette City? Or had he recently seen Mary Poppins? That mystery has never been solved. However, he did comment about the use of the word suffragette in the book in his own words. Quote, I make up so much stuff. It means something to me when I do it, and it means something to the record buyer, but if I'm asked to analyze it, I really can't explain what it is. Suffragette was crazy to work. It sounded so silly, and I liked it. Close quote. Well, even without a plot or a story, Paul McCartney came up with a song that sounded exactly like a number one single, except that it happened to peak at number 5 on the Cashbox singles chart, number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100, and number 7 in England. We think it should have hit number 1. The song at number 2 that we think should have hit number 1, that was Paul McCartney and Wings with Jet.
Number 1.
Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track, and it is a remarkable combination of perfect songwriting, an amazing lead vocal, and memorable instrumentation and production. Lyrically, the song itself is basically a confession to an affair by its male married composer. That composer first played it for his record producer while that famous producer recovered from a skiing injury in the Swiss Alps. John Lennon began writing the song while vacationing with his wife Cynthia and record producer George Martin and the woman soon to be George's wife, Judy Lockhart Smith. According to George Martin, quote, "It was during this time that John was writing songs for Rubber Soul, and one of the songs he composed in the hotel bedroom while we were all gathered around nursing my broken foot was a little ditty that he would play to me on his acoustic guitar. The song was Norwegian Wood," close quote. Later, John asked another George, George Harrison, to overdub a sitar onto the recording of this song. Even though George had only recently purchased the instrument and had only played it a few times, John sang the notes he wanted and George figured it out from there. It was all captured on analog tape by the other George, George Martin, and mixed perfectly. While it was never released as a single, it certainly would have reached number one if it had been. From their number one album, Rubber Soul, here are the Beatles with this week's Hall of Perfection track, Norwegian Wood.
I once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me. She showed me her room, isn't it good, Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere.
With our Hall of Perfection track, those were the Beatles with Norwegian Wood. Well, that's all we have for today. Be sure and join us next week at this exact same time in the exact same place for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. We would love to hear from you, so please visit our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. Those are all lowercase letters and 40 is a number. Or you can email me at john@altuniversetop40.com. Again, all lowercase letters and 40 is still a number. Or go to our Facebook page and like our Alt Universe Top 40 Facebook page. You can also hear each episode the following Friday after its original Saturday broadcast on Mixcloud. So until next time, keep making those positive changes that time and taste demand and keep on smiling through the static.
Alt Universe Top 40.